God is good.
All the time.
God has been good to this church and through this church in 2013. And we have the good God to thank for it and the good people of God, you, to thank as well for all of your good hard work in serving Him first, each other, and then the world around us. Well, renewable energy. Thought about renewable energy? You know, when I was growing up, we didn't think a whit about renewable energy. It wasn't until we got a little older and we began to figure out that in this world, the sources of energy are limited, and the fact that we're not going to have the traditional sources of energy that we used to have. So we started thinking about solar and thermal and hydro and bio and wind. These are the ways now that we're seeing how can we get energy that renews itself, that is plentiful and continues to come. Is there a source of renewable energy for human beings? Well, I don't know about you, but every now and then you get a little tired. You get a little exhausted. You get a little strained around the edges. The good news is that there is a source of renewable energy for you and me. As we look at into 2014, and what God is calling us to be and do in this brand new year, we have a God who renews our energy. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the passage of the day. It's found in Isaiah. Isaiah. I'm just going to move right ahead. The new strength that God wants to give us. Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. This was written to the people of Israel after they had been in exile in Babylonia for over 70 years. They had seen their kingdom, their own kingdom, crushed by the Babylonians, their walls of their sacred city, Jerusalem, torn down, their sacred temple just utterly destroyed, and most of the people carted off hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away to Babylon. For 70 years they sat by the waters of Babylon, weeping. But then the word of the Lord comes to the prophet Isaiah, and he says, Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fail. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God has a lot of things for us to be doing moving ahead in 2014. You have an annual report that is available to you on the tables as we come over to eat today, the report of what God accomplished this last year. And it tells the story, that's part of the story that you've already heard here and more about what God has done. But, you know, we have ambitious goals moving forward, ambitious goals that we believe God has given to us to continue the work. And there might be some who say, well, we really worked hard this last year, and it's time for a little break. Time to kind of slow down, take our foot off the pedal. No, we can't do that. There's no holding our position. There is no standing and looking backwards. There's only moving forward with continued energy, with renewed energy. For we worship a God who gives new strength to the people, to His people, to do His work. New strength. The prophet, through the word of God, was announcing a new day. There was going to come a new exodus. The people were going to leave their captivity. They were going to move back from Babylon into their holy land and rebuild the city of Jerusalem and rebuild its temple and its walls. But they needed help too. They needed strength because they were discouraged. They were downhearted. And kind of like the Broncos, I guess. I don't know. It was good to see Peyton Manning playing golf over at Pebble Beach. He looked, I didn't see tears running down his eyes because he knows sport. He knows the wins and losses and stuff, and he's back in the game. But even the Seattle Seahawks, you know what they're doing now? They're planning for the next season. They don't sit around and party for months on end saying, aren't we great and good, and admire their trophy and think about getting their rings. They're already working on the next season right now. Right now it's the draft. Who are the new players they're going to bring in? How are they going to set up their roster and deal with free agency, and on it goes. Their work, even though they've reached the pinnacle, it's just beginning again. They're on the bottom rung one more time. And I think we have to look at it that way. We've reached the top. We've reached great things. God has done great things through us. But it's time for a new strength and a new purpose and new direction for us. But this passage has spoken to me for years, and maybe for you too. And it says some really cool things. It says that, you know, God is in the renewal of strength. He compares, first of all, human strength and its issues and how far that'll get you. God gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak, and then, you know, talks about our human condition. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. I was talking to somebody this last week who was telling me, you know, when I was in college, I was working full time and I was going to school full time. I was burning the midnight oil and I could get it all done. But now that I'm around that 50 mark, I just get tired at times. Well, that's the human condition, isn't it? We get tired at times. But God says, those who hope and trust and wait on the Lord. It's a beautiful word because it means all of those things. To wait on the Lord is to trust in the Lord, to depend on the Lord, to look to the Lord. It is to say, God is the source of my strength. Like Melinda was telling us, God is the source of her peace. God is the source of our strength. And when we think about who God is and what power He has and what resources He can make available to us, well, the sky's the limit. He says they will soar like the eagle. Think about how eagles soar. Eagles are not flapping their wings like dodo birds. He says they soar. And how do eagles soar? They ride the air currents. That's how they soar. They let the wind do the work. They just spread their wings and let those updrafts carry them along from place to place. They're not flapping furiously up there. They're soaring on the power of the wind. Interestingly enough, the Hebrew word for the Holy Spirit is ruah, which also is translated wind. God is the one who lifts us up. God who gives us the ability to soar if we wait on Him. They will run and not get weary. There are going to be those times of high exertion. Any of you who've worked on Bethlehem, you know what I'm talking about. Any of you who've gone on a mission trip to Mexico, you know what I'm talking about. Times of high intensity work. Where hour after hour, day after day, you're putting your shoulder, you know, to the wheel, and you're moving hard. And I want to tell you, this last year, I'm so proud of this church. We all froze to death out there. And yet, there you all were, coming out, doing what God calls you to do, doing your part. But it's hard. There are times of high intensity labor. You're running. But God says you will run and you will not get weary. How about sharing on a spiritual level with someone? You have that opportunity given to you to actually make a difference where somebody says, well, tell me about your relationship to God, or tell me why you're at peace when others are not, or tell me why you do what you do when others do so many other crazy things. And all of a sudden you have that opportunity to share about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and your heart rate takes off on you. And maybe your hands get a little sweaty because you don't want to blow it, right? You don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to turn somebody off. That's another high-intensity experience where inside, well, outside we might look kind of calm. Inside we're going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Well, those times happen too. But know that the Lord, when we run, as we depend on Him, we will not grow weary. And then that other metaphor, you will walk and not faint. There are times when the pace of life is not intense, but it's long. And here we're talking more about endurance over the long haul. Keeping on, keeping on. Keeping on doing the right thing. It might be inviting a friend or a neighbor or a relative to come and be a part of a worship service or some outreach event that we're doing. And time after time after time, they haven't come. But you keep asking anyway, because you know that maybe sometime, at some point, they are going to come. But that's that keeping on, keeping on. It could be if you're in a continuing ministry in this church. I applaud our children's workers, our youth mentors. Every week they're encountering, you know, ministry opportunities and the stresses and strains that go with them. Every week the worship band rehearses and presents a worship set for us to be blessed by. Every week, the week in, week out, and some of you are involved in other kinds of ministries like that. And this is where you keep on keeping on. You will walk and you will not faint, because God will buoy you up. I want to end with a question or a statement, or maybe both. Imagine what God can do in this church and through this church. We're seeing more and more people touched, more and more people influenced for Christ, more and more people loved on through the acts of service that you're all performing, more and more people, the influence of the gospel and the grace of God is extending farther and farther out. And that's the way it should be. More and more, farther and farther. But I want you to think about, you know, Jesus, when he left this earth, there were about 120 or so that were gathered together in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came down. Now you think about it, Jesus had a 3-year run of public ministry. He had 12 inner disciples, lost one. But with all the multitudes and all the crowds that followed Christ, when it was all said and done, and who was there to receive the Holy Spirit, it was about 120 people. And look what God did through them. There's more than 120 people in this room, folks. What does God want to do now, this year, through us? Because God is a God who does great things. And as we honor and glorify him for what he has done and who he is, so we look forward, for a great year. I would like to think this year will be the best year this church has ever had in ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. This year, the best year this church has ever had in ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you all like to pray towards that? Well, let's do that. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for those who have given of themselves and time and effort, who have given generously, graciously, of their own resources, because they know that this is the most important work in the world, that we are your missionaries, we're your emissaries, your representatives in this dark, dark world of ours, and how we need you to empower us for service. And your great promise is you're a God who gives us new strength to tackle the new challenges and to succeed, to touch more lives, to see more people come into your kingdom, to share more love, to broaden the influence of the kingdom of God in this godless valley. Father, may this be the best year in the life of this church, as we give ourselves wholly to you. For your glory, we pray. Amen.